Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Timing Podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor Monet, and today I found my guest on Facebook. She wrapped a motivational song on how parents and teachers can keep their heads up during this pandemic and how we can all stick together. My guest is going to give a few points on how to make a virtual learning work for their parents and teachers and students a little bit easier. Parents, teachers, and students scramble to figure out how to try and maneuver around virtual learning once this COVID-19 pandemic began. So here's what experts say that parents can do to get ahead of the game for the 2020-2021 school year. My guest for today is Aisha Mosley. Aisha Mosley is a Maryland native as she is an Austin Hill High School alumni. She has a bachelor's and master's degree from Alabama State University in music education. She's a high school choral director at Lee High School in Montgomery, Alabama. She's a singer, songwriter, and local recording artist. She plays the organ and piano and loves to watch movies and being creative. Let's give a warm welcome to Aisha Mosley. Hi, Aisha.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so excited to have you on. When my mom showed me your song, I was like, we have to have her on. She's very motivational and inspiring, and I'm pretty sure she can motivate teachers and students to keep going during this virtual learning process.
Yes, ma'am.
So was there a defining moment in your life that steered you in the direction for success?
I think the moment in my life was just knowing that when I had my first child, that I knew that I had to keep going, because honestly, I was pregnant in college, and you know how you have those issues where some young ladies, when they get pregnant, they stop going to school, and sometimes they never go back. Well, I knew for myself that even though this was happening, I knew I still needed to push through and to finish, not only for myself, before the child that I was bringing into the world. So I didn't even want to stop going to school. When I had him, I was taking him to class with me. He was a quiet baby, so everybody knew who my son was. So I would take him to class because I was like, I wasn't missing class. I wasn't about to drop out. I just knew that I wanted to be successful. I didn't want to be what I saw a lot of other young ladies that I kind of knew growing up. It's kind of like they just stop and then they just don't go back. And that's not what I wanted for my life.
That's incredible. You have an amazing testimony. And like you said, people who do become mothers while in school, they have to drop out because maybe of financial reasons, or, you know, taking care of a child is a real responsibility. So kudos to you for, you know, keeping your head up and pushing through and getting your bachelor's and master's degree.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So as you were saying, and you talking about you becoming a mom in during school, what was your hardest or strongest adversity, and how did you handle it?
I'm going to let you know, with us talking, I'm definitely transparent because I do not mind letting people know some of the things that I encountered, so that way they can know that they can push through as well. And I'm not, I'm just going to say this. When I think I was probably about 30. And I was pregnant with my second son. At that time, I was married. But within those 7 months of me being pregnant with my second son, my child's father got sent to prison. And he got 20 years in there. So my thing was, Lord, how am I? I was married. Now I have two kids, about to have a second, really. And how am I going to get through this? At that time, yes, I was already teaching. I was a minister of music at the church. And it was like I was used to being dependent on someone else as well to help me. And that adversity came because it was just like, how am I going to get through this? And not only did my parents and my family help me as well to get through it, but my faith in God helped me get through that as well. And so now my son is 12. My oldest is 18. He's in college. It's kind of like, even during that time, I made sure that I went back to school. I was like, I got to show my kids what it is to be, what if they can, you know, whatever they want to be, that they can do it. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, push through it, do what you need to do. School is important, because it really is. And I just did what I had to do. It didn't matter if I was crying or if I was happy, sad, whatever it was, I still pushed through, no matter what that, no, those were the adversities that I know that I went through. So that's a little
absolutely
bit about
me. Absolutely. I mean, that is truly inspiring. Because, you know, God never leaves our side, and your kids had a firsthand experience to see how strong you were and never giving up and trying to. And that's my whole point of having this podcast, really, is having guests that are willing to share like some of their hardships and things like that, I think is inspiring to the listeners, so they can see, as you said, that they can get through whatever it is you're going through. Because experiencing something like that can be a little traumatizing, and for you to keep going and even going back to school and having that initiative and trying to create that milestone is really inspiring for myself and listeners to know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You can do anything. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It's like you just have to, like the Donnie McClurkin song says, it doesn't matter if you fall, you got to stand up and keep on going.
Absolutely. Persevering, it can be hard, but, you know, as you just said, like, you push through, and if you can do it, anyone else can. You know, if you keep your faith in God, then, you know, he'll take you through everything, and you're a great example of that.
Thank you very much.
So as I was saying earlier about virtual learning, do you think that virtual learning can meet children's individual needs?
Virtual learning is kind of difficult for those who don't know anything about a computer. And so trying to meet students' individual needs is going to be kind of difficult, especially if you have those students who really need extra help, and you really can't be there in front of their face to really help them. And I know we can't put it all on the parents, so we're trying to do as much as we can to meet whatever needs need to be met. If the children have questions, you know, just please ask, because we won't really know if they don't ask the question. It's like we'll teach whatever we need to do virtually, and then that'd be it. If they don't understand something, we really don't know if they don't understand because they don't speak out about it.
I agree, because, you know, kids who don't are sometimes like scared to ask questions, because really we all have questions going into this a new virtual learning experience. And like you said, like them being able to ask questions, I think, is something that we can all do to help ourselves and teachers trying to maneuver and navigate around this and trying to work through together on this.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Should parents have a designated area for their child's schoolwork?
Are you saying should they have a designated area?
Yes, ma'am.
If you're saying in the home, I really think that with this virtual learning that's going on, that's one of the main issues that we have, is that the children may be in the kitchen or something, but parents are walking around. And so it's kind of a distraction, because if you have 20 kids on a Zoom, but you got parents walking in and out, you know, it's kind of a distraction. And I really do feel that there needs to be some type of quiet place that they can be just on their own, and so that they can concentrate and be able to listen to their teacher when they're given their lessons.
Of course, and I think that applies to many grade levels. But what do you think about the younger students or people in elementary school?
Ooh, I feel so bad for them. I really, really feel so bad for them, because my thing is, those parents who may not have someone to be there, you really are going to have to be there for those young kids while they're online, because virtual learning for a young one, if it's not a game, a video game or something, or a computer game, it's like you really have to be right there, like you were the teacher, to make sure that they're concentrating. And that's more work in itself, trying to make sure, hey, stay on task. Hey, listen to your teacher. Hey, make sure you concentrate. Just like a parent would have to be right there, because the young ones, they'll be all over the place. It don't take but a second for them to get distracted. So I know that's a real difficult thing to try to do, for a teacher to be on a Zoom class with 10 or 15 youngins, kindergartners through fifth grade, trying to keep their attention, because their attention span is very short and there's no classroom management because you're not in the classroom with the child. So it's not like you can sit there and say, hey, stop doing that, blah, 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 blah. It's really up to the parent on the other side, or the grandparents, or the auntie, or the uncle that's on the other side to say, hey, you know, but they're not in the camera. But that's kind of the only way for those young students to be able to concentrate and try to get their lesson through in this time.
Totally, because my brother, he's 7 years old, he's in the second grade, and my mom with a government job, she has to be around, and my younger brother, he's very extroverted, and he loves to be like the bright smile in his class, so trying to keep him focused is kind of difficult, because once he is focused, we get it, rocking and rolling, you know, he's doing his work, the teachers are fine, but like you said, someone has to be around, because like I said, he's very extroverted. He loves to sometimes he loves to be the center of attention. So trying to keep him in that focused area can be really difficult.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Aisha Mosley. I'm enjoying this conversation very much, and we'll be right back after this break.
Leonkwe Chavette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonkwe Chavette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Welcome back, Aisha Mosley, and thank you everyone that's been listening so far. What is the most appropriate equipment that a student should have while learning from home?
Well, really, to be honest, all students need some type of computer or a laptop. And I know being in a parent's position and being in a teacher's position, I've been teaching this is my 14th year now. And so I feel like a computer should always be in the home by the time the child gets to middle school. If not before then, because it's always projects that's going to be given, that a student needs to have a printer, a computer. Not all the time are they going to be able to go to the library to use it. Not all the time are they going to be able to stay after school and use their teachers. So I really think that it's imperative that parents have a computer or a laptop, even if their school is not giving them one. And our issue with our school and some of the surrounding schools here in Montgomery, Alabama, is that, you know, there weren't enough Chromebooks for the students that didn't have a Chromebook or a laptop for them to do this virtual work on. And so they had to fill out a form. And when they fill out that form, then they'll get a call. And when they get that call, they can come up to the school and they can pick up their laptops or their Chromebooks. But then you also have the problem of them returning them. So let me not get too far into that. But that is the main thing that a student needs to have. Definitely a laptop or a Chromebook, some type of computer device because you cannot do your work from your phone. And that will make it a little bit more easier for the child, because then, honestly, if they already were doing it before, then it wouldn't be hard for them to do it right now.
Definitely. And hopefully the parents are in a good position for them to maybe supply those things if they didn't have them before. In my school is totally like, it's all tech, really. I do all of my work on an iPad, and it's a very different experience from like having a physical textbook and notebooks and binders and all that. But it still is essential for even the students that don't do everything on an iPad for them to have a device like that. So if there is an assignment that they would have to do, they're able to access it properly.
Right. And I understand that some parents may not be in that position. And that's why the Chromebooks are being given to the student from the school. They just have to honestly be responsible enough to come up to the school to pick it up. And what happens is they don't come during the time that's allotted for them, and then they get upset.
That's totally true of parents and responsibility and being able to, they know that their student and their child needs something to be able to do their schoolwork during this virtual time, and being able to be like, take mission and be like, look, we need to get this stuff. Let's go down to the school and pick up whatever it is that we may need. And I agree completely.
Right.
Should a parent create a set schedule with breaks built in for their students?
Honestly, I don't really think that is on the parent. I can really only speak for myself as far as we are from 8 to 12 when it comes to the virtual learning. We're only from 8 to 12. And what happens is, My 12-year-old is at home, so he's on Zoom from 8 to 12. It's up to the teacher to say, okay, well, let's break for a few minutes, and then let's come back. It's not up to the parent. I had this conversation with a fellow coworker who I call my sister some days ago, and she said she gives her students, she teaches fifth grade, and she gives her students breaks because, honestly, it's really on the teacher to know when your student has had enough, when they may need to stand up, stretch, maybe get some water because they're at the house or whatever it may be, go to the restroom. It's kind of like you're in a class, but even though they're at home, you still have to give your students a break.
I agree. My family, personally, my mom created a set schedule for us where it was basically like a school schedule. We work for a certain amount of hours, and then we had like an hour for lunch, and then we work for as many more hours after that. But I do agree, like, sometimes the teachers should be able to say, look, it's time for a break. It's time, you know, just like relax for a second, maybe like take like a 5-minute break. Me being a sophomore in high school, I took my first virtual class this Monday, and even then my teacher was like, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's say it's been, my classes are 80 minutes. It's been maybe like 40 already. She was like, yeah, let's go ahead, stand up, take a little break. And then we came back. And that was kind of refreshing because the class that I take is kind of difficult and you have to be really focused during that class. So for her being able to initiate something like that, I think will really excel in helping her students stay focused throughout the next portion of the class.
Yeah, and that's correct. And speaking on my youngest son, it's like if their classes are from 8 to 12, I'm not at home to say, hey, you can take a break during this time. My thing is go ahead and go through your classes like you would if you were at school. If your teachers give you a break, cool, go to the bathroom and do whatever. But after 12, when the classes are over, you know, you can eat, you can watch TV, whatever, because I have to still be at work till 3 o'clock. So
definitely, like, my mom, she was real persistent with that. And before, during the first part of the quarantine where schools became virtual before the summer, my mom had set that schedule. And even though the virtual learning wasn't really going too easy for my school, we were just trying to adjust and try and create some new things, my mom was persistent. She said, you need to be working from this time to this time. And honestly, as much as rigorous as it was, it actually worked. So I agree that teachers and maybe parents should be able to create a set schedule like that.
Yeah, I can get the schedule being made when COVID really hit, because it wasn't a schedule made because we were really just trying to figure everything out. So being a high school teacher, it's kind of like there's a schedule and the students have to follow the schedule like they would if they were at school. So if they have an 8 o'clock class, then they need to get on their 8 o'clock. If they have a 9 o'clock, they need to go ahead and get into their 9 o'clock. But they know that school is over at 12 o'clock.
Absolutely. And my next question for you is, what are some of the challenges that you face day to day as a teacher?
Honestly, it's just really making sure that all the students have what they need. Even with the virtual learning, they have until 11:59 to even log in, do work, or watch the conferences that may have been posted for that day, because most kids are not chiming in to the lessons that are given on a daily basis. And if I talk to the other coworkers, it's like, oh yeah, I only had like two or three kids today, but you have 25 in the class. So that is one of the challenges that I know we all are facing, is to where most kids are just not showing up to the class virtually because they have given the time of 11:59. So they feel like, oh, okay, well, I got until 11:59 p.m. that same day to get on in and make sure I do my work. That lets them know that I was there, even though I wasn't there during the time that I had class.
Yes, I can understand that may be frustrating. My school being a college preparatory school, everything is due before 11:59 p.m. So I have learned to use my time management and to really maneuver, okay, I can work, this is going to take me about this long, and then this is going to take me about that long, and I can get everything in within a decent time so I'm not working at 11:50 at night trying to push things towards my teachers. So I can understand that that may be frustrating, and having only a minimal amount of students showing effort, and because we have to take responsibility too. Like, this may be a new experience, but we're still expected to have the same, you know, expectations that the teachers may have for us. So I can understand that may be frustrating.
Yeah, and I try not to get really frustrated about it, because it's kind of like, hey, it is what it is. I can't lie to you. If they show up, they show up. If they don't, they don't. I still know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And if they're not, then that's when we give phone calls to make sure that everything is okay. We just call our students. You have to talk to them and talk to their parent. But other than that, that's about it. I try not to stress too much about it. I know it's all new for everybody.
Yeah, and that's another thing, like a line of communication. Do you think that would be like really important for parents and teachers to do during this time?
I think communication is key all across the board with anything. And so I believe that at least once a week, once or twice a week, the students need to be called so that they can know what's going on or what hasn't been done. It's just up to the parent to make sure that the student does it, because we can't, it's like we can force something, but if we're not just really in front of their face and things are really up in the air, they're not really going to do unless the parent is really on board and is going to put that fire in them to make sure, hey, you got to do your work. No, you can't go to work today. Or they're at work when they should be in class, which is not supposed to be, but that may be more important for them, you know?
Of course. And to finish this off, what advice would you like to offer to parents?
What I would like to offer to the parents is just to be patient, to know that it's all new for everyone. The teachers are trying to do what they need to do, answering all emails, answering all phone calls. They care. That's why they're still in this position. If they didn't care, they wouldn't have this job, because it's definitely not about the money. So I would just advise for the parents to, if they can be helpful as well, then, you know, go ahead and be helpful to the teacher if need be by helping their student. And if they don't know something, ask the teacher. It's not, don't be ashamed to not ask questions as well. You can ask questions to the teacher if there's something that you don't understand in order for you to help your child.
Totally. And I think patience is a really underrated thing, especially with parents with younger kids and having to be with them all the time. So I agree that patience is something that we can all focus on and moving forward with this. Well, thank you so much, Aisha Mosley, for joining me today. I had such a great time talking with you and trying to figure out and learning what we can do as students and parents to try to figure out what to do during this new normal.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank my first ever sponsor, Leon Clay Chevette, who is the author of We Made Plans. Her book is available online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Mahogany Books, and more. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Perfect Timing Podcast. Make sure you join us every Monday at 2 p.m. through SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Elite Conversations. And you can also find us on our Instagram, Perfect Timing Podcast. Thank you guys for listening.
Hey, Jay, stay away.